Events days coming up after the break. This week's topics: what produces road rage or something like it in you? What don't you like in traffic? And what's the most hippie city in our region? Emily Curitan's back in the studio with me with results from a survey that we put out about these topics just yesterday. We have lightened up the topics just a bit this week, although the road rage topic might not seem so light if you've had a recent experience with a careless or aggressive driver. The fact that we've had a real winter so far means we've had to drive a bit differently, or at least prepare differently. I've got my first set of tire chains in years in the trunk of my car, and you've probably taken steps to prepare for winter driving that just were not necessary in years past. So let's compare notes, not on the preparation, but on what you see on the road. Give us your stories of things you've seen behind the wheel that blew your mind. You know, the person eating a bowl of cereal over the dashboard, or the guy driving in the dark without lights, talking on his phone. What stirs the feeling of road rage in you, or at least something like road rage? Have you expressed that rage to another driver, or had another driver vent on you? Here's your chance to vent in a safe place. 800-838-3760 by phone, jx@jeffnet.org by email. Item two is lighter still, and a response to a list that appeared on the website reverbpress.com, a list of the 12 best hippie cities for stressed-out progressives in 2016. We're talking the 12 best hippie cities in the whole country, and the 12 include two cities from right here in the state of Jefferson, Ashland at number 7 and Mount Shasta at number 1. There are other logical candidates. Emily set our internet survey up for votes on Ashland and Mount Shasta, but also Eugene, Arcata, Jacksonville, and Trinidad. Make up your own mind about what constitutes a hippie city, and let's hear which one in our region. It doesn't have to be on that list, is either the best or the most hippie, or some superlative indicating hippiness in your city or the city you're voting for. 800-838-3760 to talk about road rage and hippie cities. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Skeeter and Eugene called promptly, so let's get him on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Good morning.
Hi.
Well, throughout the year, I would say city-wise, I think Eugene is it. Mm-hmm. But once a year, in early July, the Oregon Country Fair is definitely it. Thank you.
So Vinita becomes the center of the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, the countryside near Vinita.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. Thanks for that vote, Skeeter. Appreciate that. And we can take your calls as well, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So, Emily, we provided a choice for people on the survey for hippie city votes. And what did you find out there?
Well, we sure did. I'm not sure this week's survey is particularly statistically significant, but we offered people the option between Eugene, Mount Shasta, Ashland, Arcata, Trinidad, and Jacksonville. And then, of course, there was an other blank where you could write in whatever you want. No one in particular did that. Half of the people who responded to the survey picked Eugene as the most hippie city, in our state of Jefferson, in this particular area. It got me thinking about, what do we mean by hippie? I think one of the suggestions on that list you mentioned from Reverb Press, which singled out Mount Shasta as a hippie city, they mentioned biking and yoga and meditation culture, which seems like we've come a long way in the common vernacular of what a hippie is. I was thinking more of the political activism side of it, or the dropout side of it, and I don't see that as much, especially not in the responses we got here on the survey.
It's interesting how the term hippie city, I think, can get applied and stay applied. I mean, having lived in the Rogue Valley for 30 years, I remember my first perception of Ashland in July of 1985 was, wow, it seems like the early 70s are still alive here. But there were people who looked like quote-unquote hippies from the early 70s still walking the streets at that time. Now, since the mid-80s, obviously, Ashland has gentrified so much that real estate prices have gone through the roof. It's not the kind of place where somebody who is just sort of scratching an existence out can go on. And yet, the hippie city tag seems to stick and stay.
Right. I mean, bohemian chic is a whole—I just had an ad for that pop up on my, my web browser. So I think that the culture of not being mainstream for whatever reason, of not participating or standing against some kind of political system or of war, has really been co-opted for commercial purposes. And perhaps this list is doing that, too. I'd be curious to know what our listeners think of that, because I certainly had a little knee-jerk reaction to, well, are we kind of doing a disservice to actual hippies by using this term and applying it to a kind of like a travel list, and a way, something sponsored by Chamber of Commerce's, perhaps?
Right. To appeal to the hippie in all of us or something. And for that matter, what is a hippie? What fits that definition? Join us on the exchange with your thoughts on hippies and hippie cities in the region. What you'd vote for as the most hippie city in the state of Jefferson. 800-838-3760 by phone, email jx@jeffnet.org. Our other topic is road rage. What are the kinds of things you see in traffic as a driver, as a bicycle rider, as a pedestrian, as any user of streets and sidewalks? What's the stuff that gets your attention and makes you think, wow, somebody really has the wrong approach behind the wheel today? Maybe that person's been yourself. Let's hear it. 800-838-3760 by phone, jx@jeffnet.org by email. Here's a call from Charlie and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yeah, I got to say, good morning. Calling from Hippie Central, I suppose. I got a shout out to Skeeter. I used to live upstairs from Skeeter many years ago. Back in the late 70s, early 80s. Hey, the road thing, Jeff, is really, I mean, there's a couple of things that just, nobody knows, you know, not nobody, but a lot of people just seem to have forgotten basic rules of driving. Like, for one, on the freeway, you know, just because you pay your taxes doesn't mean you get to drive in the left-hand lane all the time. You know,
all right.
Left-hand lane is for passing. You get over there, you pass, you get back in the right lane. You know, and just that, and then the other thing on the freeways that's gotten really bad is the merging, the concept of merging. You know, people coming up the on-ramp, it's their responsibility to time their entry into the moving traffic of the freeway and not the other way around. You know, they don't, you know, and yet so often you're driving down the freeway, you're in the right lane, people are coming up the on-ramp, and you can tell that they're not looking, you know, they're not looking to see how they can either, you know, slow up and pull in behind somebody or speed up and get ahead of somebody. No, they come right up to the very end and then look over at you like, what are you doing there? You know, get out of my way. So those are just some of the things that just, you know, I drive up and down the freeway a lot.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the left lane one I hear from a lot of people, and the merging one mm-hmm. becomes an issue in particular when a lane is closed, for example. This one always fractures me. When you're driving down the road and you see the sign that says right lane closed 2 miles ahead.
Right, right.
And the traffic slows down about a mile out because everybody's making the merge at the last possible moment.
Yeah, at the last possible moment. The other thing is, you know, give the truck drivers a break too, you know. I got family that drives truck and you know, you, there's 80,000 pounds of momentum moving there right at you. And, you know, so often you see people pull in front of trucks and slam on brakes and just, you know, just not aware of the circumstances, what they're doing. They're engaged in driving essentially this, you know, 3-ton or so, you know, metal chariot on balloons down mm-hmm. the road at, you know, at 70 miles an hour.
Right.
You know, just kind of be aware of what you're doing.
Okay, thanks for that, Charlie. Appreciate it. So your road rage story is welcome here, whether it causes you actual rage or not. Let's hear what you think about what you're seeing out on the roads today, the things that drive you up the wall or make you consider turning in your keys and your license and letting somebody else do the driving. 800-838-3760 to talk about that. And jx@jeffnet.org, our email address. You can also talk about hippie cities, which is the biggest hippie city in our region. And the votes went for, was it half for Eugene?
Yeah, mostly for Eugene and then also Ashland as well. A lot of the votes for Ashland came from people who live in Ashland. Thought that was interesting. So I'm curious, Jeff, what do you think is the most hippie city?
Wow. You know, the Mount Shasta thing is fair, you know, since it's smaller, any sort of a place that feels more hippie-like is mm-hmm. it's going to be more concentrated in a place that is smaller like Mount Shasta. In a place like Eugene with 150,000 people, it gets a bit diluted. Like, and Ashland, as I mentioned, has gentrified a bit. Don't know. And Arcata, haven't been there in a while. So I can't really relate on that level. I imagine it's facing some of the same issues that Ashland has faced. It's a desirable place to live, and real estate goes up and so forth.
Yeah, maybe we don't need superlatives so much as it would be great to hear from some of the listeners across the region about what makes their community hippie or not, or how it's changed, if it used to be what you would call more of an outsider culture. I know, you know, in Arcata, the plaza is still alive and well, and plumes of marijuana smoke coming off of the corners, but you can't bring a dog in there anymore. So that, you know, times have changed a bit, but not too much. Probably the same for some of our road ragers here. I like the last caller's comments ending on a cautionary note. You know, as impatient as we get, having a little respect for something that outweighs you by 20 or 30 times is just common sense, probably. I would love there to be some way, you know, when someone passes you and they're really in a hurry, you know, they kind of buzz up behind you. I hate that feeling a lot. That's probably my road rage pet peeve, is the tailgater. And so then I move over. I say, okay, all right, go on by. And then you see them 15 minutes later at the same gas station. So they don't actually get to their destination any faster. If there was some way to sort of the whole world to gain some perspective, because in our survey here, we have a mix of drivers who are complaining about other drivers going too fast and drivers who are complaining about other drivers driving too slow. And I suspect that there are some great equalizing forces that we don't see when we're in our cars. And perhaps if there was some kind of app for that, where you see whether you drive 5 miles under the speed limit or 5 miles over, you tend to get to your destination about the same time.
Maybe we need mood cars. You know, you can actually, the color of your car changes if you're feeling like you're in a hurry or something, you know. If it looks all, is it green is the calm one?
I think green is the calm one. You know, if you see orange, go ahead and steer clear.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I did pull up a list from the 2015 Expedia Road Rage Report indicates that texters were the major frustration, with 26% responses. The tailgater, not far behind at 13%. And the left lane hog, close behind that as well.
See, I'll take someone who's paying attention to the road, even if it's to the back end of my car, over someone who's texting any day of the week.
That is a tough one. Let's take some more calls here. We're going to go talk about road rage and about hippie towns. Here's Dennis in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi.
Hi.
Say, I'd like to expand that from Eugene to Lane County.
Okay.
And I think that Lane County is absolutely the most hippie place probably in the world. I mean, after all, Ken Kesey is from here. We started Saturday markets when nobody even knew what they were. The Country Fair, the Grateful Dead. I mean, I could just go on and on. There is so much underground and dropout people in this area who are doing their own thing. There's literally, in this county, there's probably more geniuses than there is anywhere else who are figuring out things and nobody even knows about them. People who don't give a rat's, you know what, about money, mm-hmm. who are true hippies, you know. There's a lot of fake hippies in this world, and Eugene actually and Lane County has the true hippie from the late 60s.
Okay, we'll keep that as a vote for the true hippie bastion being Lane County. Thanks for the thoughts there, Dennis. Let's go to Jim in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Does hippie really mean the same thing now as it did in the 60s? For anybody here, I'm 74 years old, remember Tequila was the hippie place. I mean, it was, you know, totally whatever. Hippie 60s, war, you know, on one side, Vietnam, ashrams, communes. A lot of the young people were from very wealthy families. It was their way of protesting fathers' tax-paying, supporting the Vietnam War, all of those things. Is that what's in the mix of a, you know, this century hippie?
That's a good question. And let me read you, actually, because I've been trying to get to this, about what Reverb Press actually wrote above its list of hippie cities. Deborah Montesano wrote this. She said, there's a perception that cities are blue bastions even in red states, and it's very true. But some urban havens are true blue hippie cities where their progressive values, laid-back living, and liberal laws make them top travel destinations for the besieged, fun-loving, and refuge-seeking liberal. So that was where she was coming from with that. A couple more messages. I want to get to some of the stuff we got in on the survey, too. Debbie and Talent emails, sadly, Ashland is not a hippie city anymore. It is too self-consciously hip to be about peace, love, and understanding. And driving? I'm not filled with rage. I'm filled with paranoia because of so many distracted drivers. That from Debbie and Talent. And you got a number of comments on the survey as well about things that scared people.
I did. Well, probably more on the rage side of this, mostly from drivers. Here's one from Myra in Ashland. She wrote, "The only way to effectively communicate with other people on the road is via this magical light operated with a small stick to the left of the wheel, in case you've forgotten. The disuse of a blinker is not only annoying as a driver, but dangerous as a biker or pedestrian. You need to know where you're going, people, so use a signal." That from Myra in Eugene.
You know, one of the things that I noticed about that, and I meant to put this on Facebook a few times too, was that it actually uses gas for other people's cars, because if I don't realize you're turning because you haven't signaled, I'm going to sit there and wait longer for you to clear the intersection.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'd seen the signal, I might have left sooner and gotten home sooner and used a little less gas in the process.
Although, you know, thinking about the cultural norms here, I think I told you before the show, when I was in Mexico driving, I was so confused because everyone used their blinkers as a way to signal to the person behind them that it was okay to pass. I don't think I ever saw someone use a blinker to show that they were going to turn.
That was like the come around arm, that kind of
thing? Yeah, exactly. But so, and maybe that's because the blinker has, they're further along in their blinker disuse evolution there. But Myra liking to turn things around. We've got a few more comments on the survey.
Yeah, let's hear them.
Let's see. Oh, here's one from a pedestrian griping about a bicyclist, so we can get our full food chain here of transportation. This is from Gracie in Ashland. Gracie writes, "When bicyclists think they own the road and don't need the traffic signals, that's what gets me the most. I was almost hit by one while walking in a crosswalk on Siskiyou Boulevard in Ashland."
Wow.
So Gracie and Ashland almost mowed down by a speedy cyclist.
And as a pedestrian.
Actually, I could say personally, whenever I've been a driver and a biker, and I actually have stronger road rage when I'm a biker, because you really do kind of think everyone is actively trying to kill you.
That is true. Yeah, my most significant texting experience didn't actually involve somebody making a bad turn or anything, but they were sitting there waiting at a light after it turned green, and I noticed both hands on the big pink cell phone punching away, and you make the nasty eye contact, but it doesn't know how much effect it has. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Road rage and hippie cities are topics. Join in, 800-838-3760. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Connie in Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
You know, I don't think that Eugene's ever going to lose its hippie reputation. Anyway, my comment is on road rage. I bicycle and walk a great deal. And so what bothers me, and I own a car as well, and what bothers me the most and what really gets me going is when someone does attempt to kill me while I'm bicycling or walking, you know, by ignorance, by not paying attention, by whatever. They, in their huge vehicle, which is a lethal weapon, just like a gun, you know, I yell at them and say, hey, you know, and you get the finger, you get any number of things, and I just get so angry that people don't think, and I try and think myself when I drive, that every time I get in that vehicle, I have the potential to kill someone. And so the fact that people think they nearly kill someone as a pedestrian or a bicyclist, much less the other drivers, people are not connecting with how lethal a car is. And that's, you know, the rage part, of course, is that you just tried to kill me, but it gets accelerated by the fact that somebody says, buzz off or something similar
right.
to that.
Yeah, that is anyway, a sobering thought. Yeah,
right. And the flip side of that is the fear, road fear, and that is nighttime, particularly pedestrians with no any kind of reflective clothing or anything, so you cannot see them. I nearly hit someone last night who ran in front of me.
Yikes.
And I think that was a tremendous fear experience.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, Connie, thanks for the thoughts. Very much appreciate that. You got another couple of comments there?
Yeah, Connie's comments reminded me of some we got from Susie in Eugene, talking specifically about the University of Oregon campus and how, in her comment, she says, pedestrians darting out in front of you without regard for their safety, even though you may not see them and they're not even being courteous, hurrying up, or as Connie said, wearing reflective things. So it sounds like a lot of these problems come out of hubris of some kind. People think they're invincible. They wear dark clothes and just in Ashland, I know I see it a lot because there's so many protected crosswalks. Perhaps people take it for granted that being on the right side of the law doesn't protect your body from getting crushed by a giant car.
And it does not have that power, in fact. Let's take a call from Brad in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Thanks. I'm going to go with Eugene, too, and it's because of a joke I heard about Eugene. Is how come there are so many hippies in Eugene? Well, it's because there's no work there.
Oh.
Okay. So anyway, on the road rage thing, I have three things that bother me. People have talked about driving the left lane on the freeway. I also resent it here in town on the boulevard. People who drive in the left lane, it should be used for left turns and passing only. And when they clog that lane, it makes it difficult for people to get out and get into their spot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think people would be better off if they hug the right lane for driving regularly. The other thing is people that don't turn their lights down at night and they blind us with their headlights is very rude.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, it's pedestrians who are so, they seem they have the right of way, and so they step out into traffic, and they could just wait another 2 seconds and let the car go by, and there'd be a big gap behind them. But they don't do that. They'll step right out mm-hmm. often and make a whole bunch of cars come to a fast halt so they can waddle across the street. And I wish people would maneuver so that everybody keeps flowing better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, makes sense. Thanks for that, Brad. Okay. Appreciate it. Elizabeth in Ashland, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day, Road Rage and Hippie Cities.
Elizabeth? Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
The new LED lights that they have in the cars, some of them are absolutely blinding, and I think they ought to be illegal. At some point, things are too bright.
Oh, the headlights, the LED lights?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, those really can be strong. Okay, thanks for that, Elizabeth. Appreciate it. Chad in Roseburg, we can fit you in with a short comment. Welcome to the exchange.
Yeah, I just want to comment on, after driving across the country about seven times with kids, and New Yorkers are by far the best at getting out of the left lane.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but they just seem to know to get out of the way. And Oregon is, I hate to say it, this is my home state, but they're the worst.
All right, the left lane hangouts. I noticed that a fair amount myself. And in fact, as I drive home at night on the two-lane portion of 99, I get people behind me. I have to make a left turn. I signal it really early, and they end up stopping behind me and waiting while I make my left turn. Final thought here from Jim and Eugene. He says, Garberville, if it qualifies as a city, it's got to be the most hippie. He says, gentrification is eons away. Any further comments you want to pull off the survey?
A lot of things are eons away from Garberville. Gotta love it. It's been fun, Jeff. We do have a lot on the survey. People in the left lane, those of you wandering into crosswalks, take heed, listen to each other, reflect.
That's right, reflect. No road rage and hippie cities. Those are the topics on this week's Vince Day. Thanks for listening.